Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, and from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 204. Thank you.
We wish to speak or read out of God's holy word, which can be found in the first book of Corinthians, there of the 12th chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian articles. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the eye, of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet honor earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord, wilt thou teach us to pray, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. And who can know the thoughts and the intents of the heart of men? And what are those burdens and crosses that are suffered under each and every one within themselves? And we come each and every one to stand before thee in thy house once again in this afternoon. And thou who knowest the hearts, thou knowest also what our intents are. Oh, that thou may forgive all that is sinful. And wilt thou wash and wilt thou cleanse us in that precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son, without whom we will perish forever. Oh, that thou may show to us, Lord, what our sin is, for thou knowest what our greatest misery is, that we do not know our misery. For there is a salvation to be had for the asking, for the seeking, for the knocking, as thou dost promise in thy word. But who can make himself so to knock and ask and seek but thee? For we know not our wretchedness. We see not our state and condition by nature. We have no living impression of that danger wherein we are every moment. Because here we have no continuing city. And we can any moment depart out of this life. And when it is in the same way wherein we are born, then we shall sink into that eternal abyss where hope shall never come. O Lord, that thou may open our eyes. Thou didst send thy servants, thine angels, into Sodom of old, in order that thou mayest deliver a lot with his children. But thou knowest that thou hadst even to take him by the hand and to lead him out of the city because even he did linger. And then there was no awaking of his sons. From that danger wherein that they did lie. O Lord, thou givest it in thy holy word for a holy and a great purpose. For then it is not only the city of Sodom and Gomorrah that was destroyed, but then this we can read in thy holy word. That also the elements of this world, they shall burn with a fervent heat. And then we can observe all about us that heat does become hotter and hotter in the days wherein that we do live. Because thy wrath does lie hotter and hotter upon us. For we have departed as individuals, churches, and nations from thee in so many ways. O Lord, thy goodness bestowed upon us has been so very, very great. so that we have so much to answer for that has been from thee. But thou knowest how that we have squandered all thy goodness, and that we have wasted our substance with riotous living. O Lord, that thou thyself would give us as that prodigal of old to come unto ourselves. Oh, that we may arise and say also that I will return unto my Father. Oh, wilt thou give in the hearts of young and old those impressions in a living and a saving way. What we do miss upon our journey to that great eternity. For the time is short, and eternity that is forever and forever. O Lord, that thou wouldst awaken us out of our death sleep, and that thou may give to us to see, eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. That thy word may receive a place in our hearts this day, and that there may be a pricking of the heart as we read it was in the days of old, a smiting upon our breast and a crying out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, that there may be an entrance of thy word into the heart as it was in the heart of Lydia. So that there may be an attendance unto the things that are spoken this day. Lord, that thou thyself would lead us, each and every one, in thy own way, for thy wisdom is far above us. Oh, that thou may show us that way, and wilt thou lead the blind in a way that they do not know. Oh, that thou may deliver those that can find no deliverance in themselves. Oh, that thou thyself may bring to an end of everything that is from self. For thou bringest in to the workhouse, but thou must bring it all also to an end, to give a man to understand the depth of his misery, that he is not able to deliver himself, and that thou may make thy dear Son to become precious unto us. O Lord, thou art may able to make him white and ruddy in our eyes also, for the first or by renewal, the chiefest among 10,000. O, could it please thee to open thy blessed word, that not only that law may come home to our heart, that it may enter, that sin might abound, but that also that which thou hast done upon that cursed tree, as we have been hearing in these weeks, oh, that this also may be seen by a blessed eye of faith. Oh, that there may be the beginning of that eternal rejoicing here below already in the hearts of those who cannot help themselves, and those that do lie under that bondage of sin, as we have heard it in this morning hour, and who are not able to break those bonds. Oh, thou who wast willing to be bound in order that they may be set free. Oh, that thou may open this, reveal it, Lord, in the hearts of those that do feel that bondage. Oh, that those that do sit in darkness may see a little bit of that light. For then they shall rejoice, even as they do rejoice about thy throne this day in glory. Oh, Lord, that thou may feed thy people with the milk of the word, and also with meat. Wilt thou give us what is necessary that we may be able to hand out that bread that thou wilt give for thy church? Thou art the one that must multiply the loaves. Lord, then we only need to hand it out. Oh, we ask of thee that thou wouldst so make it an easy and a loving task for us also in this afternoon hour. Remember all those that need thee in special ways, those that are afflicted and sick in the nursing home and in the hospital. Thou knowest where that they are in great weakness, but thou art able to supply in all the needs, for body and for soul, and that thou mayest supply for all the congregation, young and old, for the burdens they are known unto thee. And thou knowest where there is also no burden. O Lord, that thou may grant that burden that a man cannot do without between the cradle and the grave. And that he may be given to be so instructed by thee that he may also come to be able to say that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that that he may be able by times to kiss the rod and to taste a little honey on the end thereof. Lord, wilt thou so bless and sanctify the afflictions amidst this congregation? There are young and there are older ones. And then we may ask ourselves, what is now the profit for our soul? Oh, that thou may so look upon us, that we may receive instruction by thee. Do go before us in this afternoon hour, in the preaching and also in the hearing. Lord, that thou thyself may be in our midst to show thyself, to give us the unction of thy Holy Spirit, and to give thy word a free course, and a place in the hearts of young and old. O God, show us that thou livest, and that thou reignest, that thou sittest upon the throne, and that also in the days in which we live, thy Spirit may not be withheld, and that it may not only be read in the books, but, O Lord, that thou may give, that there may be in our midst monuments of thy grace and of thy long-suffering, of thy great mercy, those that may be able to testify amongst us as a congregation, that may be given to say, come, and hear all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. O Lord, then young and old may be given to see it and to hear it, and to know how thou dost work in the life of a man, to stop us on our mad career, and to turn us about and to deliver us from ourselves and from that eternal pit to which that we would bring ourselves. Look upon us then. Do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. Forgive thou all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 439, stanzas 3 and 4. Whom have I, Lord, but thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy but thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning, for thee my troubled heart is burning. We announced that the youth group hopes to meet this coming Saturday, March the 5th, in the Picture Butte Church. The Lord willing, the confession of faith will take place next week in the afternoon service. And the last collection today is for the Student Support Fund. Psalter 439, stanzas 3 and 4. Beloved congregation, what is the great privilege of a child? That is, that he may be under the instruction and the help and also the government of a father. Why? Because a child left to himself, Solomon says, bringeth his mother to shame. So that if I have no one to correct me in my knowledge and to help me in my weakness, and to keep me from my own self-will, then I will surely perish. We read that the Lord, He, for just a moment, did withdraw Himself from Hezekiah in order, we read, to know what was in his heart. And what was in his heart, that was not good. And so we can read it also of a David, of a Solomon, of a Peter, that for moments, that for some a longer period, that the Lord did, as it were, try them to find out what was in their heart. And every time again, then there was only proof that man left to himself will work out his entire destruction. What is now the greatest blessing of God's children? That is, that they have a prophet for their ignorance. That they have a priest for their guilt, for their weakness, for their poverty. And that they have a king for the rebellion that is living within their hearts. Because if that was not so, they would surely perish. But now their salvation, that is firmer than the existence of this whole universe. Because we read that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word that shall not pass away. That is the likes of a Ruth in Moab that will be instructed by that great prophet. It will be the likes of a Manasseh who will be forgiven by that priest. And it will be the likes of a Saul of Tarsus that will be hindered, that will be irresistibly stopped upon their way by the king. And so we have heard in the weeks that have gone by something of the offices of the Son of God, to which he was anointed for that purpose for his church. But now we read that the church itself is also called by his official name, and that we wish with the Lord's help to consider something of in this afternoon hour out of Lord's Day 12, the 32nd question. Lord's Day 12, question 32. But why art thou called a Christian? Answer, because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks of the church named after Christ. First, on account of a most intimate union. We read that, because I am a member of Christ by faith. Therefore, they are named after him on account of this most intimate union, a member of Christ by faith. Second, manifesting a partaking of his blessed anointing. We read, and thus am partaker of his anointing. Thus they are named after him, and being named after him manifests or evidences or shows that they are also a partaker of his anointing, that name Christ is speaking about. And so we can read of prophet, priest, and king in the rest of this answer. So the church named after Christ on account of a most intimate union, and second, manifesting or showing a partaking of his blessed anointing. We have heard a little time ago that Christ, he has many names, and he has many names for a reason. They are for a great purpose, that he may reveal himself unto his church. But we can read in the scriptures that not only does Christ have many names, but also the church of God is called by many names. Thus we can read, the apostle says that she is called, for example, the elect lady. Thus that is pointing to the choosing love of the Father concerning that church, the elect lady. We can read that she is called the fold of Christ, or she is called the bride of Christ, or she is called the spouse of Christ. And then we can read further that she is called the temple of the Holy Ghost. Thus, the names of that church so directly related, connected to all the three persons of that blessed divine Trinity. Who can fathom the interest that that triune God has in that church? So that he does say, he that toucheth you does touch the apple of mine eye. That is a church that has been given unto Christ already in eternity, in the council of peace, in the covenant of redemption, given unto Christ as his bride. He has bought her. And he has bought her with a very great, a very high price, that is the price of his own blood. So that he says unto that bride, he says, I am married unto you. And thus Isaiah says, as the bridegroom rejoiceth over his bride, So the Lord does rejoice over His people. And Solomon says that He has brought me into His banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. That is, congregation, a matter of the deepest humiliation for the true church of God. And why? Because what does that church have to say of herself? Then she has to say, I am black. Because that is her daily experience. That is what she says is the reality now from her own sight. David mourned over his sinful existence. Behold, he says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That is, from the moment of my very conception. And that is something that has not changed even to this very day, even to this very moment. The Apostle Paul, he says, O wretched man that I am. That is, congregation, the living complaint of that true church of God. That is from that day of their new birth. And that is a complaint that goes with that church even unto the grave. Because the Apostle Paul says that that flesh, that mortal flesh that will be sown in corruption, it will be sown a mortal body, it will be sown a natural body, it will be sown in sin. Thus, that living complaint that cannot be taken away from that church until that mortal body that is sown so in the earth. And now this is that bride of whom Christ says, I am married unto you. Is it not then a matter of the greatest, of the deepest humiliation for that people? Because that bride, she says, I am black. But then we read, she says more, she says also, but comely. And congregation, what is now this when she says, but comely? Well, then, as she has an insight. She has an insight that is more than an insight into her own wretched condition. As she has an insight into a comeliness which is placed upon her. When He may reveal Himself to her. When she may see something of His beauty. When she may behold something of that blessed work that He has done for His own church. Then there are times. Then there are seasons for that bride that she may hear His voice. And His voice, she says, that was sweet to my taste. And when that voice is coming, then she may see not only her own wretchedness, but she may see what is now coming from that other side, so that she says, I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. What a cause, what a reason to bow in the dust of self-abasement for that black bride. But why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith. This is now the people that our fathers are speaking about. It is His bride. It is His spouse. And that spouse now receives His name. Even as wives, you have received your name. In that day that you were married unto your husband, then you have also received the name of your husband. That is appropriate. Why? Because we read in God's Word that in that union too, they are becoming one flesh. There is no union that is so intimate. There is no union that is so close. And that is now what Paul says in this chapter also. And also when he writes to the Romans, that he says that ye are now the body of Christ, and that ye are now members in particular. Why then should that church not bear his name, boys and girls? When we purchase something in this world, then you will say maybe to your brother or to your sister, well, that thing, that is mine. Maybe sometimes you will take something and you will write your own name on it. Why? Because you say, well, that belongs to me. That is mine. Oh, how much more may now Christ not do so for his own church, that he may place his own name upon his own people. Luke says that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. We do not know exactly what the circumstances were. Could it be that it was a name of derision? But it was a very common thing that persons were called after the names of their leaders. But truly, the Lord himself has in his dealings and in his providences in this world caused that his church should be called after his own name. And then how was it for that church? Well, what greater delight could that church now have than to be called after the name of their master? Oh, it is true. Then there are times in the life of that people wherein they are experiencing and showing forth a false shame of that name. We can read that about Peter. How that when he was being called by the enemy after that name of Christ, thou art also one of them. Then when that in that moment when faith was so low, then Peter, he was so afraid, and it seemed as if the enemy that was so strong, that Peter, he is denying that name of the Lord. But we have heard in this morning how different it was formerly in his life. Then there were moments also in the life of Peter that though that enemy with all their swords, they are standing before him. Oh, that he was so ready to be called by that name. And now we can read it in the history also of the church. How that there are so many that have gone even into martyrdom, into suffering, and into death. And then it is this name that has given them so much courage, and this name that has given them so much strength that they may give themselves even unto death. Oh, how will it be for us, congregation, because we do not know what our lot will be. We see around us that difficult times are coming. We cannot deny that the clouds, they are lowering. We cannot deny that the enemy that is gathering. We cannot deny that the Lord, he is withdrawing his hand. We cannot deny that Satan is more and more loosed. Oh, we cannot deny that time of tribulation that cannot be so far away anymore. that is coming as we can read it prophesied in that holy word of God. And then congregation, how shall we stand in that day? But why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith. Oh, then our fathers do not say, because I am a member of the church. But why art thou called a Christian? Because when I was an infant, I was baptized. But why art thou called a Christian? Because I have stood there before God and before the church, and I have made confession, and therefore I am a Christian. Oh, indeed. Indeed, so it is. By baptism, by confession, that we all together, we are bearing this name, and this congregation is good. And this is right. Or are we ashamed in the midst of the world in which we live of that name? How is it with us young people? Or are we ashamed to bear that name when we go amongst our friends in this world? And how is it when we are going day by day in this world? Is that name by which that we are called hindering us for shame? That we are not walking in all the way that men are desiring us to walk in this life, and that our hearts desire to walk in. But our fathers, they do not say this, because you are baptized, because you have made confession of faith. No, but our fathers, they go so much deeper. They do not speak only about the form. They do not speak only about what is outward, but they speak directly about the substance. Oh, that name that is used so often, so lightly, is it not? I am a Christian. Oh, that name that is used so often, so presumptuously. But congregation, soon, in that day of judgment, everything is going to be revealed. And then it will not be a matter of whether that we are baptized or whether that we have done confession of faith. Oh, they may well testify against us in that great day of days. But there is a matter now that is so much deeper. So much deeper. It is speaking about a union. It is speaking about that which we cannot miss upon our journey to that great eternity. Oh, there is a church that is not able to exist outside of Christ. And why not? Why not? Because daily, they are condemned. Daily they are condemned in their own heart. Because every day again, from their own side, they have to perish. Oh, if they are not now a member of Him, then indeed for that people, there is now no hope. Because He alone is that righteousness that is able to stand before the Lord. In John 15, the Lord Jesus shows the daily work of His people. That is the daily work of a Christian. And what is that? He says, "Abide in Me. And I in you." Oh, that is so necessary for His people. Why? Because He says, if a man abide not in Me, then he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them, and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Oh, abide in Me. That is now the only way for that church to receive any hope and any comfort, consolation as they go through this life? Is there then, congregation, not so much sweetness in this name? Christian. Why? Because I am a member of Christ by faith. A Christian, he cannot be condemned. And why cannot a Christian be condemned? Because Christ cannot be condemned. Because Christ was condemned. Because they were condemned already in Him as Christian. Oh, then they have also stood there as Christian before Pilate. Then they also have received in Him that condemnation. When He was condemned to the death of the cross. And no, that was not merely by that earthly judge, but it was the condemnation of God Himself. Oh, that church condemned with Him. Oh, that sin laid upon Him. And so that church that is also rising with Him. Oh, that church can no longer be condemned. That church can no longer be lost. A Christian cannot be lost. Why? Because Christ Himself cannot be lost. Oh, congregation, how many of God's children do not fear that one day when they do pass out of this life, that they will be rejected at the gates of heaven. And why? Ah, they say that word of the Lord, that nothing shall enter in there that does defile. And then how shall I ever enter there? Oh, there is only one way, people of the Lord, that is to enter there as Christian. Oh, that is to be a member of Christ by faith. We have read that together in this hour. Oh, that church, many members. Oh, you may be but the smallest. Oh, you may be but the lowest of the members of that church. Oh, but will Christ not take every one of His members with Him into that glory? Do you say to your foot, I have no need of you because you are not my eye, because you are not my hand? No, the uncomely parts, Paul says, they receive a more abundant comeliness. And so Christ also, when He will take up to Himself His body, then there will not be one, not the least part of that body that will be left behind. Oh, what did the Lord say to Barak? Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. Oh, if we may have but the smallest part in Christ, if we may have the smallest part in Him, congregation, oh, then it is so very, very well, Christian. Blessed name. Oh, if it may be applied, if it may be given unto us from above, because that means that we are hidden in Christ. Christian, though we have nothing in this world, and though that we are the very least in the kingdom of heaven, let us sing. Psalter 30, stanzas 2 and 3. The lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair. The heritage in which I dwell is good beyond compare. 2 and 3 of Psalter 30. named after Christ on account of a most intimate union, and second, manifesting a partaking of his blessed anointing. But why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am a partaker of his anointing. What does that mean, to be a partaker of his anointing that he has bestowed upon his church? A very great dignity, a very great honor, that he makes them also as he is, that is in a certain likeness, that is in his offices as a prophet, priest, and king. No, that cannot be in that perfection and that he is, but that is with a certain likeness, because we read about David and that he is speaking concerning the anointing of Aaron. And he says that that anointing oil that did flow down upon his beard and down even upon his garments. And so that is the anointing of that head Christ that is flowing down also upon his church, his members. So that John says that he hath made you kings and priests unto our God. He has received gifts for men, David says. That is, that he may distribute those gifts unto his church. And that is now what our fathers are speaking of here. What do they write? They write that so I may confess his name. That speaks, congregation, of that prophetical office. What is necessary for that? Children. What was necessary for a prophet? In the first place, because they were true prophets, and then there were also false prophets. What was the difference? Say, well, the false prophets, they have received nothing from the Lord. That is right. And the true prophets, well, they have received the revelations of the Lord. The Lord has spoken to them. The Lord has instructed them. And because the Lord has instructed them, then they now receive the ability to speak unto others. So that is now how that God's entire church, they are made prophets for the Lord, because they receive an enlightening. It is an enlightening from above, even as no man in this whole world has been enlightened. Because we are born into this world with a darkened understanding. And now it is that true church of God, whom he will call Christian, after the name, the official name of his only begotten Son, whom he is enlightening. John Bunyan, he attempted to show that. What was that enlightenment? Well, we hear that man speaking to his wife, speaking to his children. And he says, my wife and my dear ones. He says, this city that is going to be destroyed. This city that is most certainly going to be burned with fire. Oh, they thought that he was out of his mind. They thought he was not talking sense. But congregation, he is the only one that saw it rightly. because he was enlightened from above, and he has become the prophet of the Lord. Do you have the privilege, young people, of having a God-fearing father, a God-fearing mother, a God-fearing grandfather or grandmother, maybe an aunt, maybe an uncle? Do you have such a privilege? Do you listen to what they say? Because they are prophets of the Lord. And they are those who see it rightly above all the persons that can be found in the whole world. Where is their enlightening from when they warn you? Their enlightening that is from heaven. It is the Lord who has showed unto them these things. They are enlightened in the knowledge of sin. They are enlightened in the knowledge of our misery, of our wretchedness. Say, there are many that speak about sin. Yes, all men are confessors of it. But then there are many that will say to you, young people, they will say, well, then we still have an ability from our own side, a spiritual ability. When you hear that, then you must think to yourself, is this man now enlightened? Is he enlightened in how deeply that we have fallen? Does he really see what my wretched state and misery is? Because God's children, they are enlightened to see not only that evil of sin, but also that complete destruction that they have brought themselves into in their deep fall. So that a man is dead in sins and in trespasses. And we need to be enlightened in this. It is so necessary. Why? Because outside of this enlightenment, then we cannot be enlightened in the mysteries of the salvation of that church. Oh, that is a people whose eyes have been opened, that they may be given to see that there is a Savior, that there is a Redeemer, and that is so completely on the outside of myself that they begin to seek after Him only. These are anointed. They are anointed as prophets. They are qualified. They are qualified to speak about sin. And they are qualified to speak about grace. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Prophets of the Lord, because taught by the Lord, that they may also give instruction to others. The Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when thou art turned, when thou art delivered, when thou art brought again from your fall, from your sin, strengthen thy brethren. Oh, what a heart that prophet Peter has received. Oh, then he has received a heart, no, not to beat the little lambs over the head with a rod. Listen to him on the day of Pentecost. when men are pricked in their heart by the Spirit of the Lord, and to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter, he may place himself so with that people, who he has said to them, you have crucified that Lord of glory. But then Peter himself, he may so place himself with that people that he may say, then I have done so also myself. I have done it in my heart. I have done it with my word. And then that instruction that Peter has received, then he may instruct, he may strengthen his brethren to say unto them, repent, turn from this your wickedness, but be also baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive that gift of the Holy Ghost. That prophet, when he may speak of that one name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved from all that iniquity and all that sin that we are not able to deliver ourselves from, that so I may confess his name, that is by virtue of that holy anointing oil, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, that is a church, of priests. They are clothed in fine linen, clean and white. They are wrapped. They are wrapped as Christians, wrapped in that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that he says of them, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. And now that is a priesthood. A priesthood that may sometimes draw near by special times and by special seasons, that they may enter in within the veil, to draw near unto the Lord and to come before him with that holy boldness. And there the Lord may smell a sweet savor as that incense that is rising from those coals which are taken from that altar of the Lord. Golden vials, we read, full of odors that are the prayers of the saints, as their soul may enter somewhat into those mysteries and plead by moments upon that all-atoning work of that only begotten Son of God, revealed unto them from heaven, that blessed sacrifice, that cross upon which that such a complete price has been paid, so that that people, they may go in into that veil, and that they may say, Lord, we indeed justly, I receive the due reward of my deeds indeed, Lord. But wilt thou yet remember me? Wilt thou remember my wife? Wilt thou remember my husband? Wilt thou remember my children, my father, my mother? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. They shall call them the priests of the Lord, the ministers of our God. And present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness unto him, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, the Apostle Paul says, with a broken, with a contrite heart and spirit, weeping over the sins as David of my youth, over the sins, as Paul, even that are continuing to this very day, or more and more disposed to yield up my members that they may be instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh, that they may not be, that sin may not reign in my mortal body, that I would fulfill it in the lust thereof. More and more disappointed. Disappointed with myself as I have to go through this world, that I am cleaving to everything that is here below, even when there is yet that portion of my soul that would so desire to dedicate my whole self, heart, life, and soul unto God. Oh, more and more, by times loosed from everything that is encumbering in this world, so that they say with the Apostle Paul, that I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness unto Him. And then with patience waiting, abiding His time, and also that with a free and good conscience, I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with Him eternally over all creatures. There you have it. That is that last office. That is now that kingly work. What do they receive? They receive an elevated mind. They receive a mind that is above all the mind of this world. They receive a mind that desires, as we read, a free and good conscience. And therefore resist the devil in order that he may flee from them. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that he may join himself to the people of the Lord, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, that is grace. And grace gives a man to conquer as a king the lust of sin. And though they be taken in that battle over and over again in this life, still the Lord says that sin shall not have dominion over you. So that sometimes they may say, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, because when I fall, I shall arise. Why? Christian, I stand not by myself. No, I stand not alone. Christian. And when I sit in darkness, then the Lord shall be a light unto me. Oh, that is that kingly battle, which they feel so often to lose in this life. And yet, oh, doing less and less sin, but becoming a greater and a greater sinner in themselves. Oh, a people, congregation with kingly riches. Kingly riches. What are they? Everything is yours. All is yours, we read. And you are Christ's. And Christ is God's. Everything working for good in this world to them that please God, to them that love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose that is in this life, and afterwards to inherit what eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man to conceive, what God hath laid away for them that love Him. And so our Father say it here, and afterwards reign with Him eternally over all creatures. And I do not know how to explain that. Really, I do not know what this is. who can enter into that and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. But indeed, it is out of the Bible, because Christ, he says of the church, that they shall sit on thrones and they shall judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Would you know what that is? Well, congregation, then we must just experience what that is. Oh, then seek to enter there, into that place, to receive that portion, because it will be the portion of the very least in that kingdom of heaven, that they will be arrayed with a royal dignity and with a royal majesty. O congregation, how much is not in that name of Christ anointed, and thus is also in that blessed name, Christian. And now we carry that name. We all carry that name over this world. But do we now seek to know what the substance of that name is? Do you ever say that, young people, that is now the name that is upon me? Or do you even dare to call yourself by that name? Because if you would say to a man, yes, I am a Christian, but you know well what it now means to be a Christian, then it is not so easy to say anymore, is it? I will tell you, young people, when I was just a teenager and I was in my car and I was riding on highway and I was listening to a sermon, and as I was listening, that minister, I don't know who it was anymore, and I don't know what the text was anymore either, but I remember well what he said. He said, if you have not Christ, you have nothing. Do you know what I thought? I said, Lord, I have not Christ. I don't know him. I don't love him. I am on the outside. Because Christ is now who God's people love. He is white to them. He is ruddy to them. He is nothing to me. Or it was as if I had never heard that name in my whole life. And then everything, congregation, has to fall away. All our tears and all our hunger and all our thirst and all our work, so that we become on the outside once again. Do you know what the Lord said to Sardis? He says, thou hast a name to live and are dead. We do not say that necessarily of that people, because Christ is not the first to be known, no. But it is so necessary. It is so necessary to come to know him. Oh, time that is so short. Eternity that is so long. So long. It is forever and forever. And outside of that knowledge of him who can clothe us with his righteousness, we, congregation, will perish forever and forever. Oh, seek then Seek that we may not have only that name Christian, but that we may have it from above. That union with that second person of that blessed and divine Trinity, because then we have everything for time and for eternity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou open our eyes, show to us that we have nothing when we are outside of thee, but there is everything to be found in thee. And then it is possible that we despair. But Lord, thou sayest, and that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So that the chiefest of the sinners can yet be brought in. Oh, give that hope and that expectation in the life of those that do despair in themselves. Bless thy word. Humble us under thy gifts and under thy help also in this hour. And wilt thou be with us in the week to come. We hope to gather as a consistory, to receive church visitation also. Lord, be thou among us. And wilt thou bless the labors of the offices in our midst. And thou, that thou wouldst bestow thy labor as the great office bearer upon us, which is effectual to the conversion of sinners and to the bringing in of thy people. Keep each one of us in our work. In the week that is to come, watch over each one that travels also. Wilt thou spare from a sudden and an unprepared death? We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 163, stanzas 2 and 3. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. So I will bless thee while I live and lift my prayer to thee. 2 and 3 of Psalter 163.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.